Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. On a Tri-Day Friday, a Fransky Friday, a World Cup Friday. But no Phillies tonight, which is just weird. Yes, we got a game last night. Not a great one. Phillies go down to the New York Mets. We got a lot to get to. Top 11 reaction. I'm sure we'll talk about the quarterback and Rocky and all that kind of stuff. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Kyle. Good morning, Philadelphia. Happy Juneteenth to everybody. And no, nothing's wrong because I had people calling me this morning. I'm here because I want to be. So nobody's forcing me to do anything. I mean, I'm here because I enjoy my job and I want to be here. So nothing's wrong. I could have took the day off, but I'm here.
Well, I'm happy you're here. I'm glad to have you. If you wanted to take off, you take off on a holiday, but you want to be here?
He's going to leverage this against us
I can already feel.
I'm not putting up with this on this day.
I can feel it already. I'm not. I'm calm.
I'm just saying.
Okay. For now.
1 hour from now is the first time he says, really? On this day? On this day? Well, it is a Friday. Yes, it is Juneteenth. It's also a day to talk about the Phillies, who lose last night to the New York Mets. And you know, it's funny. This team has had kind of two different seasons, right? At the beginning, the first part of the first season they had, which they went 9-19, and they were so bad they got the manager fired, and then they got red hot under Don Mattingly, and now we're kind of back to normal, which is all right. We're past that initial burst of all right, new manager. We're past the initial downtrend at the start of the season, and this is who they are right now. And here's our look at the Phillies. You know, last night was not a good night. They had a good week, mostly against the Marlins, winning 2 out of 3. They did not have a good weekend last weekend against the Brewers. It's been a little up and down recently. I am still in on the idea of this team having a chance to win the World Series. That comes with some caveats, and it comes with a little bit of a little worry. Like, it's not perfect, right? We don't have the Dodgers. We're not playing as well as the Brewers. We're not playing as well as the Braves. The Phillies are, the way I view them right now, a playoff team. A playoff contender, one that can make noise if they make the right moves at the trade deadline. I'm still in, Hugh, but there's like every day or two, there's another thing that kind of creeps in the back of my mind that makes me wonder how much longer I'm going to stay in. I am in right now on this team, still having a real chance to win the World Series. But Hugh, you see reasons why there's doubt. I mean, the bullpen has struggled in front of Duran. The lineup has a lot of easy outs, too many nights. And now the back of the rotation is—it's not just a concern; it's a big thing, right? Painter's down the minor leagues, and you have Aaron Nola, who is still here and is obviously better than Painter, but his ERA is bumping up against 6. Hugh, where are you at? Phillies lose last night. Do you still look at this team, and are you still in on the idea of this team being a World Series team?
I'm in on it because the fact that the collective bargain agreement for baseball is kind of looming, and it doesn't look great. So I'm still in on it. It's just going to be interesting to see what the Phillies do in order to make this team better. Because here's the reality of what they're looking at right now. You don't have a whole lot of prospects that you can leverage in order to get some good players in here. It looks like right now you're probably going to need two starters as far as your pitching staff is concerned. As far as your pitching is concerned, because Nola yesterday – you know what the telling thing about Nola was? It kind of looks similar to what he's been in the past, but then it just got progressively worse as we went on.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about giving up that home run to Soto, you're looking at it, you're like, okay, well, we kind of expect him to do that because he usually does that and then he settles down. Then it just kept going, and it was similar to what it was the other day when Painter was in there. Didn't give you a chance to win because you got so far behind the eight ball that it just didn't give you a chance, so looks like you're going to probably need a bat. Trey Turner looked like he might be hurt, you know, dealing with – because Don Mattingly said something to the fact that he's been dealing with hamstrings and has got hit in the calf and everything. So you're going to need another bat, and you're probably going to need two arms. So it's – they're going to have to spend some money. It looks like they're in order to get what they need, they're going to have to spend some money. They're going to break bread.
Well, look, there's a lot of things they need and to fix between now and the trade deadline. The biggest reason that I am still in on this is the high-end starting pitching what they have at the top. And in October, you can shorten your rotation. You can use your best pitchers. And when you have Sanchez and you have Wheeler and you have Lizardo, you have big-time arms to get big-time outs in the postseason. The more you can roll those three out, the better chance you will have over the course of the postseason. And as much as there are more teams in the mix to make the playoffs, I mean, there are. I mean, look at the wild card standings. It is bunched. I only count it as about two or three teams in the NL that I've written off that just have no chance to make the playoffs. So there's a lot of teams. But none of those teams are great. Like, I don't look at any team. Like, even if you wanted to say, and I think it's probably fair to say today, Braves are going to win this division. Brewers are going to win their division. Dodgers are going to win theirs. So even if you just kind of count that. The Phillies have, you know, even with their flaws, a much better chance to make it to the finish line and get in the playoffs than almost any of these wildcard contenders. So I'm not particularly worried about, you know, two, three teams jumping them. What I am concerned about with the Phillies is they need to fix the holes they have. I don't think they could get two starting pitchers. So Nola's going to just have to just brace ourselves for Nola the entire season, because I don't think they can get two. They can get one. I don't think they can get two. I still am in. I still see the high-end talent, and I can't ignore it. And it's a team that has made the playoffs year after year, so I'm still in. But they got work to do here, and they got to be better than they have been, especially in the bullpen lately, which has become shaky in front of Duran. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here on this Friday. We'll get to Friday stuff and a lot to talk about. But last night's a frustrating game, Hugh, because the Mets stink. I mean, the Mets have stunk the entire season. And they come in here last night. Soto hits the home runs. And even with that, the Phillies have a chance. That game's not out of reach late. I mean, it's back and forth. It's tie game. Alvarado has been a disaster this year. I'm in on the team. I'm out on Jose Alvarado. The Phillies, you know, as we kind of tier what they need by net between now and August 3rd, moving up the ranks for me is a bullpen arm. Because that's the kind of stuff you need when you get down to the end of the season and to the playoffs. You know, starting pitcher, a back-end starting pitcher is obviously a huge need right now. We all know they need a bat, but Dave Dombrowski cannot ignore this bullpen. They need help there, too, because with Keller out, I don't know what he's going to be when he gets back. There's really nothing in front of Duran you feel great about. I mean, Kirkering's been pretty good, but it seems like they want to keep him kind of in the spot he is at. So they don't really have a ton around their star closer that you feel completely good about. So they have a hole there now, too. 215-592-9494. Kyle, what are you feeling as the Phillies lose last night to the New York Mets as we go into a weird Friday off day here?
Yeah, it doesn't really have much to do with what happened last night in particular. I've just been, I guess, overcome lately with a little bit of, this is going to be dramatic, a sense of doom. I just feel like they're cooked. Like, I don't think they have any chance at winning the World Series this year. It's kind of been slowly been hitting me. I think, you know what might have been, and this is also going to sound weird because Adolis wasn't having a great season, but I felt like he was starting to pick it up. And I think him with some of the other righties, like Boehm, starting to pick it up a little bit. I was like, okay, you know, like maybe there's something here. Maybe I'll start to feel better about this lineup as the season has gone on. And now he's out. And now it's just starting to pile up with needs, like how many holes this team has, the fifth starter thing, that is really going to burn him. And I know it's just a fifth starter, and he's probably not pitching much in the postseason as a starter, but that's a guy you can move to your bullpen.
Yep.
And speaking of the bullpen kind of stinks too. Outside of Duran, like there's really not another guy that I feel confident putting my full trust in. Like I'm just uninspired by this team right now. Because even as good as Harper's been, it's not been like great. It's not been elite. I mean, Schwarber is probably the best. He's been the best hitter just home run wise on the team. Marsh too. But that's not enough for me. Like, it's just not enough. Like, there were moments last season where I'm like, you know, I can see it. I can see, like, I see flashes of greatness with this team. Like, I feel like they could actually make a run or they could compete with the Dodgers. I think they did compete with the Dodgers. If Wheeler didn't get injured, they might have even won that series against the Dodgers. I'm not getting those same feelings this year. Like, it feels like we need multiple relief pitchers. It feels like we need multiple bats. It feels like we need a starter. And we don't have anything to get those guys.
Well, it doesn't help that the three times, or four, I guess four, they've played the Braves, Dodgers, and Brewers. They've gotten their ass kicked, right? Well, that doesn't help the feeling either.
And the other thing, and this is sort of looking down the line, like I'm working through ways of how they're going to get into the postseason, because that's not a guarantee right now. Like, they might middle out. They're probably going to regress back to the mean like they did when they were really bad, the 9-game losing streak. And now they're probably going to regress from this peak that they had a little bit ago. They're probably going to middle out at maybe a little bit over 500 this season. And if they do go for the division, are they going to wear themselves out in September
and
be screwed?
Yeah, which is why I don't even think it's wise to do that. Just to put some numbers to this, Baseball Reference gives them 55% chance to make the playoffs, 1.4% chance to win the World Series. So, I mean, the numbers are what they are. They have to be better. And, you know, Hugh, Kyle was talking about Garcia being out for the season, which it's not like he was having a big year, but it did create an obvious hole, right? Like, they can't squint now and say, well, maybe Adolis Garcia is turning the corner. Because it did look like he was playing a little bit better,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was. He started to play better.
Now we can't even squint because we're looking at right field. And, you know, guys, they're just placeholders right now in right field. They don't have a right fielder.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing about it is, it looks like you're going to have to go in your pocket to get some players. But you're still in striking distance. When you talk about the National League and the team that has the most wins, that's the Dodgers right now. You got 48. And you're looking at the league as a whole. I think the Dodgers are leading the league as far as in wins is 48. So you're in the mix. You just have to go out and get some people to help you stay relevant.
Well, you're right. They are in the mix, but there's also the specter of they're not that far ahead of the other teams out of the playoffs, right?
Yeah, like it's a mosh pit. Yeah, everybody's to get bunched together.
Well, I mean, think about it like this. So the Phillies have right now they are sitting at 40-35, which is fine, right? That's currently in one of the wild card spots. But then you also have Washington, who's been a surprise at 39 wins, Cubs at 39, Arizona 38, Pittsburgh 38, Miami 37. So you have like seven teams separated by three games for those three playoff spots. It's probably going to come down to the end. I think the Phillies will get there, even if they don't do much. They'll get to the postseason because their high-end starting pitching is going to help them get there. They have work to do. As I sit here today on June 19th, I am in. I'm still in on this Phillies team. But they got work to do to keep me in. Because if they don't change the team, if they don't improve, if they don't make a move, Hugh, we've let this slip under the radar a little bit here. Bryce Harper's in a pretty serious slump right now. He's got to wake back up. Because the only way this offense works
is if he goes.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've said it all year, right? It's Schwarber, Harper, Marsh. They've been their three best hitters all year. If one of those three goes into a big slump for a couple weeks,
it's bad for everybody.
Yeah, you're down to two guys you could count on. That's not enough. So Bryce Harper, who we went through the whole offseason, is he elite? Is he not? The Dombrowski comments. If you look at his numbers today, Bryce Harper's numbers, his batting average, his on-base, his slugging, it all looks very similar to last year. And we all agreed Bryce Harper was not elite last year. It was about Dave Dombrowski saying it, should he not said it, all that stuff. But it looks just like last year. Bryce Harper's got to get back going again. It's been fine. It's been better than it's not bad. It's certainly solid. But they need more out of Bryce Harper moving forward. 215-592-9494. Chris in Middletown starts us off on a Tri-Day Friday. Good morning, Chris.
Chris.
Happy Tri-Day Friday, man.
Chris, what's up, pal?
Guys, what's up is I'm still in on the Phillies. I still do believe. I'm a little disappointed in Kyle because let me make a little motion here. If they make a move and they bring Skubal in, I think with three aces up our sleeve, we've got a legit chance to make a run. And, Joe, you referenced the batting. I know Garcia's gone, but listen, Alec Bohm, believe it or not, over this past month, he has been driving in runs left and right.
He has.
He's starting to look a little bit more like he's finally bouncing back.
He has more runs batted in than Bryce. Think about that for a second, which is actually amazing when you consider his for April was as bad as any month we've ever seen around here. It's crazy.
I'm sure Douglas is going to start saying to throw him a financial apology pretty soon, but we'll get to that.
I'm taking that day off. If you comes in here wanting to re-sign Bohm, I'm taking the day off. I'm out.
It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah,
I feel my third eye.
Talk to him.
Trey Turner, guys. Trey Turner's been just disgustingly bad. So even if he just plays average, that's a huge improvement for him. So I can see a world where this works. It's just interesting that you bring up Bryce Harper. He needs to go kiss the ring of Dave Dombrowski, unfortunately, because if you look at where Bryce is at the age in his career, his production he's given you versus where Freddie Freeman was, he's actually below Freddie Freeman. So he's not even as good as Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, so our best player isn't that good, and yet there's, but if we get the best pitcher in baseball, sure. How are we going to do that?
But if we could bring Schubel to the Schuylkill, right?
Yeah, well, he's trying to speak your language now. He's speaking your language. It doesn't rhyme, but that's okay.
It sure does. I'd love to bring Schubel, Otani, all these guys in. But, how the hell are we going to get Schubel?
We go get him. But anyway, guys.
You can go ahead.
On my way out here, I want to address Mr. Douglas. I know why you're working this week. It's because you had a messy week this week. First, you started off greasing the skids to bench Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Then you did not put Jalen on your top 11 athlete. And then you start trailing the Jalenites with your nonsense Rocky take. And then, which actually, by the way, kind of fits because Rocky was not real. It was based on real events, which kind of sounds like the Jalen Hurts story, and his delusional fans, they're kind of like Trekkies and Star Wars people. Like, they're not really reality-based.
It's real disrespectful to the Trekkies.
A little bit of reality. But guys, on the way out, I do want to say, in all seriousness, happy Father's Day, Hugh and Joe. And Kyle, Go spend some time with your dad, but don't roll up in there all banged up. Behave yourself, okay? Happy Father's Day.
Well said. Happy Father's Day, Chris. Yeah, I mean, would you characterize yourself having a tough week?
No, not at all. I had a wonderful week. Well, because my analogy tracks exactly with people that understand exactly the point that I was trying to make. The point was basically that he was coming in as an underdog. Jalen, all those other guys that went before him were projected starters. Jalen was the underdog, and Jalen produced and surpassed them. So it tracks. I just can't help it if like people like Chris and other folks can't catch it. But that's one of the driving forces that motivates most athletes. Because, you know, it's funny. Remember back when we talked to Jahi Campbell,
mm-hmm.
and I asked him about playing for the Eagles, right? And he said something to the effect that he felt some kind of way because he got drafted here because he thought he would go higher.
Mm-hmm.
So his mentality was, I'm going to show everybody, right? So basically, when you think about it in a nutshell, it's the Rocky mentality. Whether or not you're a first-round draft pick.
They're all Rockies.
Or a fifth-round draft pick. That's the motivation that you use to help propel you to where exactly you want to be. So that's why I was fitting. And if nobody understood it, I get it. Because like I said, I kind of vibrate on a different level. So it's kind of hard for folks to understand it when I explain it to them like that. But most people get it.
No, I think most people understood where you were coming from. Maybe we just didn't see it the same way you did.
Like, that's why I came to work today, because it feels like today is a great teaching moment.
Hold on.
No, seriously.
You came to work on a holiday to teach us about Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, well, it was a teaching moment.
Okay.
Because that's why, you know, you sit here every day in this
chair.
You
were something else.
And you try to educate people the best way that you can every day.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just buckle up because we have a different spin. It's not about Rocky. Now the Rocky analogy may come back up, but we have a different spin on a lot of what the Hurts conversation with Top 11 has been over the past week. So we'll get to that coming up. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Matt in Bucks County talking Phillies here on WIP. Hey, Matt.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
Thank you for letting me on, as always. I never really follow Christopher Middleton, and I usually, you know, start itching and turn my radio off at that point. But I kind of agree with him, and I enjoy his banter with Hugh. It's kind of funny. The Phillies, I kind of agree with Kyle. I mean, I'm not all out yet, but if we can get Tariq in here, but I think, like, I agree with you as well. We need at least one bat. I like the Bader thing. I think they were talking about it early in the morning show, maybe trying to bring him back. But we need a couple pitches. If we can get Scooble, whatever his name is, I think we would. But everybody keeps talking about October. We're nowhere near October.
Yeah, we have a lot. And we have a long way to go. And to your point on this, Matt, and I think that's what you're saying. Like, they have to get there, right? So to me, there's two things going on at once, and hopefully it all leads to the same thing. If they can get in and have themselves healthy when they get there, they weren't healthy last year, obviously, with Wheeler, they have the pieces to make a run against anyone, right? Because they have the top ends pitching, they have power in their lineup with Schwarber and Harper. Like, they could do it. But my concern, Matt, is if they don't add some real pieces between now and the trade deadline, they're going to run out of gas, right? Because they've used Duran so much, they don't give these guys days off. Like, it's like they have to get there. If they get there, I see the path, but they also got to help their guys get there so they're not out of gas when they get there. It's kind of two things Nebraska's got to do at the same time here.
Agreed, but I also feel like now this is multiple years in a row, right? Mm-hmm. Where we have to get to the trade deadline. We can't wait to get what's going to happen at the trade deadline. You don't see really L.A. doing it. They do it in the solid teams that are in the playoffs all the time. L.A. now 2 years in a row. They don't go after anything because they're completely built and more or less ready.
Yep.
Every year it seems like we got to, at the deadline, we got to get something. We got to get something. So it becomes a consistent thing with the Phillies. I want to get to a point where, I'm not writing the checks, and it's all good. But Middleton says, I want a championship. I want to bring it back here. Open up his pockets. Get creative. Be like Lurie and Howie and get creative with the cap if it does come, but whatever the luxury taxes and whatnot are. But L.A. always seems to do it. They're giving out so much money, and I know they have the money because of the market, but Philly's a pretty good, solid market. But go get them. Empty the bank, to go get the Tariq. Go get I don't know about Trout now. He's on the IR.
Well, I know. Sad day for me and for a lot of us out there that want Mike Trout here. Matt, good phone call, man. Yes, Trout hit the injured list yesterday. I'm waiting for Hugh to peacock around.
We kind of knew it was going
to
happen.
Yeah, to be fair.
He was having that magical season, yes. And, it was at some point. Yeah. The pumpkin.
See, there it is. I knew it was coming.
Going to turn into a
pumpkin. Well, let's just be clear about this. This is a hamstring injury. This isn't, he didn't tear his knee up. He'll be back.
Oh, yeah. Trout going on the IL is a rare thing.
Well, all I'm saying is I didn't say he's perfectly healthy.
He's not.
I'm having a tough morning here with this Trout thing, all right? Anyway, to the point of the call, yes, it is. It is absolutely every year with this because they don't build a good enough and deep enough roster. That's on Dombrowski. It's on Dombrowski. And if they're going to get better, I think that the most realistic path is what Matt is saying there. They're going to have to take on money. I didn't hear that this morning, but the morning show was discussing maybe bringing back Bader. You could probably get him for nothing. Now, he has not played well for the Giants at all this season. But sometimes there's guys that play well in certain spots, and they end up in other spots they don't play as well. I'd consider that. I would consider bringing Bader back, especially if you can get him for just take the contract. 215-592-9494. Temperature check on this Tri-Day Friday of the Phillies as a World Series contender. Are you still in? You out? You teetering? Where are you? Your calls on that. We'll hit a Tri-Day as well. Plus, Dave Dombrowski spoke yesterday on the team's needs as we get to the trade deadline. We'll play you some of that next, including one thing that is part of the root of the Phillies issue. They just feel content being pretty good, and you'll hear that next. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Soto swings, hits a mile high, pitch into right center. It's fairly deep. Crawford is back near the track. He leaps, and it is gone. Second homer of the night for Juan Soto. A towering fly ball to right center field. And it's his 17th of the year, and it's 3-1 New York.
Yeah, that one wasn't fun. That looked like a pop-up off of Juan Soto's bat and just kept carrying and carrying and carrying. Second homer of the night. Boy, here Juan Soto makes this place his personal playground. When he comes here, it's like home run after home run after home run.
Yeah, he thought was since 40 games or something like that. He's got like 18 home runs or something like that. I think he has
the second most home runs ever in this park by a visitor, and he's only played like 40 something games here. It's nuts.
Yeah,
he's
at home here.
He is. Yeah. Well, and in an alternative universe, I tried to bring him here a couple times, and no one wanted to do that. But that's all right. I mean, we don't have Juan Soto. No big deal. We have Trey Turner instead. No Juan Soto. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in. All right, are you still in on the Phillies as a World Series team? It's been a roller coaster this season, right? In April, I think we were all just rock bottom out. Then it got super red hot with Mattingly in here, and they're winning every game, and we all got back on board. Here we've kind of leveled out a little bit here, and they've got issues they need to fix. I am still in. They have work to do, though, and they got to fix this roster, specifically in two spots with pitching. I think the back of the rotation is now going to be one they have to do soon because I don't even know who's going to take the next turn as the fifth starter. I don't even know if they know. The guy that came in last night to finish the game, Bryce Wilson, he might start it. I mean, Alan Ron, hell, Hugh Douglas. I don't know who's going to pitch.
I don't want that. I'd be pitching batting practice.
Wow. We're in the dirt.
Yeah, I mean, we know that. The divot in Clearwater, they still haven't fixed.
They still haven't fixed. Yeah, it's still a dent.
Yeah.
But no, that's not, no.
So we have that issue. And we also have an issue of needing another bat in the lineup. Can we hear Dave Dombrowski yesterday, before we go back to the phone lines, on the couple issues? Let's start with how they fill in, what they do for the Painter spot in the rotation.
I mean, it's been one that we focused on. We've got four that match up with anybody's probably in baseball. So, and I think most clubs are searching for their fifth and beyond that. So, this is, unfortunately, we thought Andrew would be ready to continue throughout the year. Didn't quite make it, but doesn't mean he's not going to be back and pitch very well for us. We still think he has the type of ability. We've got a couple guys down there that we're happy to be bringing up. Great bullpen depth. So, we'll just see what ends up happening. I'd have to say that most clubs that I talk to don't have starting pitching depth, so there's very few that are, if you get hit in the wrong spot, you're going to throw somebody out there. It's tough for us to top our top three at this point. And Nola throws, hopefully, the way he's capable of throwing. It's pretty tough to top those four.
All right. Well, at least at the end, there was a little reality there when he kind of narrowed it down to the top three, right?
Yeah,
the top
then
three.
He threw Nola back in there because hopefully, outside of, like, unlike Painter, Nola's been down this track before. and hopefully he can work himself out of it. That's kind of what you're hoping for.
Yeah, Nola's better than Painter right now, obviously. Painter was so bad, he had to go to the minor leagues. One thing, though, that was a very generous characterization of Andrew Painter. We hoped he would make it. He wasn't quite ready to get to the finish line. Quite ready? It's June, Dave. He's talking like it's, well, he made it to September. It's June, and you had to send him to the minor leagues, and he had a 7 ERA. I don't know. The sirens in the background there felt very appropriate for what the hell Dave's trying to spin there. They need another pitcher. He needs to find another pitcher as soon as he can. So that's one issue. Hugh, then there's the other issue of the bat. And yesterday, I was waiting for this question because it is one we seemingly ask every year to the Phillies and to Dave Dombrowski. Would Bryce Harper be willing, would you guys be willing to put Bryce Harper back in right field if the best bat you could get is a first baseman? Here's Dave Dombrowski on that yesterday, and I didn't like this answer.
Would you rule out the possibility of acquiring a right-handed hitting first baseman and potentially moving Bryce back to right field?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, we haven't talked to him about it. I know he's always been very open-minded to try to help the organization however he can. We haven't talked to him, and I really don't contemplate because I really like the way he goes about his business at first base and think of him as a... One thing we wouldn't do is keep going back and forth if we ever did that. I mean, I really... But I'm looking at him as being our first baseman.
So, you know what I heard there, Hugh? I heard the word that Dave Dombrowski used. He didn't use it there, but I heard it in his voice and in the way he spoke. I heard content. Now we're content with Bryce at first base. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Every year, I watch the Dodgers move people around and do whatever it takes to win a World Series. And that, if that is, you know, Ohtani going back and forth from pitching to hitting, if it is moving Mookie Betts from the outfield to the infield, if it's using relievers out of the bullpen, like whatever it takes for that year to win is what the Dodgers do. Meanwhile, the Phillies have a gigantic hole in right field, which has been there from the minute Bryce Harper left the outfield. That hole has existed. They have not filled it for all these years. And we're looking at a trade deadline, and yesterday was not great news for the Phillies in the trade deadline. Number one, we kind of hit it a few minutes ago. Mike Trout's on the injured list, now with a hamstring. And Byron Buxton, who's probably the best outfield bat available over Trout, said yesterday he doesn't really plan on or want to waive his no-trade clause. So those are probably the two best, and they're probably out of the Phillies' reach. So, Hugh, I think that was the Bulldog Dave. You were asking the question.
It was.
It's pretty clear that the best bats that could be moved could end up being first basemen, not outfielders.
Yes.
And it's not that hard to imagine a scenario where the Phillies could trade for a first baseman that could really hit and help and just move Bryce to the outfield. And I listened to Dave yesterday, and it doesn't sound like he's very keen on doing that.
Well, I think part of the reason is because this late in the game, it's kind of an aggressive move to try to move him to the outfield right now.
I don't think it is.
I mean, but that's kind of where we're at right now with Bryce. Now, as far as helping the team out, you really don't have too many chess pieces or plays that you have that you can make. And that would be the easiest one to make when you talk about the abundance of potential first baseman being available as opposed to outfielders. So it's one of those things, even though it's late in the game and it's an aggressive move, you need to do something to help make your team better. And that's kind of how you have to look at it. And I hear you when you say content, because with the potential of injuries being starting to pile up on you, you're not in a good spot to be content in any way, shape, or form.
No, and your outfield stinks. I mean, you have no right fielder. And, like, all right, so I understand it's the middle of the season. Like, to do that is not a simple thing, but he played the position for a decade. I mean, like, Bryce Harper could go out to right field today, and I think it wouldn't even look any different than it looked for the first few years he was here. I think he'd be absolutely just adequate at it. He played out there from 2012 until 2022. That was his position. He played it the whole time. He was fine. In fact, I thought at times he was really good at it. So I think he could do it. And I didn't love the sense of, well, I like Bryce at first. I don't care what you like.
It was just such a typical Dave Dombrowski. Like, oh, you know, every club has an issue with the fifth starter. Yeah. Not every club is supposed to be contending for a World Series, Dave. I just can't stand that stuff. I don't care about those other clubs. Get better pitching. Get better players. Like, you have to add to this roster. And I think part of my worry is that they're pretty barren in the farm system, at least in terms of, like, I don't know, the names that we were able to throw around last season and the year before,
they're
and even the
names.
Year before that.
Big names.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like we can do that right now because of what we have to sell. So the only thing that they can do, I think, is get aggressive or get creative. And getting creative, like, God forbid, Bryce has to play in the outfield for 3 months.
He'll be fine.
He's going to be okay. Or, you know what? Like, even if they have Trey Turner. What if Harper really doesn't want to go in the outfield, put Trey's ass in the freaking outfield. I mean, it can't be that much worse. So I don't know. Like they would have to find ways to get creative to add to this team, and it doesn't feel like they're willing to do that.
Yeah, what frustrates me is the team they can't get past, the Dodgers, is the team that is the most willing to be flexible with their roster. They will do whatever it takes every year to try to go win the World Series. And to hear Dave Dombrowski, I'm like, well, I like Bryce at first. That's not the question, Dave. Like, no one asked you, do you like Bryce Harper at first base? The question is, if the best bat available is a right-handed hitting first baseman, Bryce to the outfield, what do you think of that? Like Dave Dombrowski's way too smart of an executive to not answer questions and me not to just say, Dave, that's BS. Like, that's not the question. I don't care that you like Bryce Harper at first base. What makes you the best team right now, based on what's available, is probably Bryce Harper going back to right field. We'll see where it goes, but if I had a guess today, who based on the Buxton thing and doesn't want to waive his no trade, Trout hurt again, the best bat that's going to be moved probably will be an infielder and probably will be a first baseman. So if they sit that out, that's on them.
Yeah, and it's not a good look. I think when you talk about the state of baseball, the potential of it being a lockout and your team getting older, there's a lot of things working against you in all of this. And if you're really serious and sincere about pushing all in, this looks like this would probably be the time to do it.
Yeah, that's a good word. Are you serious? Like, are the Phillies serious about we're going to win the World Series? Well, then they got to be serious about being uncomfortable and moving people around. Luke in Riverton is up on WIP. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Good, Luke. What's up?
So, I will say, even despite Trout's injury, I still think it would be wise to trade for him. I mean,
hey,
we're
Luke,
at a point right now
Luke,
where the Phillies
wait a minute, Luke,
farm
Luke,
system.
Luke. I'm sitting here. You ain't gonna speak to me. I'm here too.
Oh, hey Hugh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
So
you
I'm
can make your point.
I'm with you on the Trout thing. A little hamstring injury is not stopping me. Not after all these years, Luke. I cannot be stopped now. I'd still, you know, assuming it's not like a tear and he's not out for months. I'm still interested, of course.
Yeah, of course. He's on the 10-day IL,
yep.
So he'll be back, and they shouldn't make any type of move until they're like probably around the All-Star break, where they get a good sense that he's back and that the Phillies are also haven't completely went down the drain. But another interesting thing is that in terms of the bullpen, we actually have two guys in AA right now that potentially could make a run for the September roster at the very least. McFarlane and that Che Wing Pond guy.
Mm-hmm.
McFarlane right now,
has been on my radar for a while. Yeah, and look, this happens, you know, I'd say once every few years, right? There's a guy that moves very quick as a reliever. I mean, we saw it, what year was it, 23 with Kerkering? Right, Kerkering started off in basically like A-ball, and then the last 2 weeks of the season, he got here. So that's always on my radar, Luke, and I think like the bullpen, I'm not overly concerned about, but I think we all see it. They could use... I actually like Bolin a lot. I think Bolin might end up being their second best reliever after Duran, but they could use another arm or two down there, clearly.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And also, this might cost a pretty penny and may not be the most popular decision, but I think the Phillies could look towards the Mariners pitching factory to get their guy. I mean, Bryce Miller or Luis Castillo, none of them like the 3-4 inning stretch thing they have going down there. And I think it could be a potential trade candidate for that.
It's an interesting idea. Well, I mean, and Luke, for people out there who don't know what you're talking about, the Mariners have so much starting pitching, like so much, including a guy that's about to come up that might be just as good as all the other guys they have that's in the minors, that they're they actually agreed to do like piggyback starts so they all stay in the rotation. Luke, good phone call. I mean, Hugh, the Mariners might be the team that everyone's envious in baseball. They have so many good starters that instead of someone losing their job, they all agreed like as a group, like, all right, I'll just go three innings, you go four, and the next time we'll switch. Like they basically have seven guys that are so
good.
That's
pretty cool that they do that.
Yeah, that they're just basically sharing their spots.
Yeah, but I think you would have to get creative if you're talking about getting some starting pitching,
yeah.
If you're getting some more pitching.
Yeah, well, and obviously Seattle's not just going to give those guys up because they're highly valuable pieces. 215-592-9494. All right, your calls on the Phillies here. Are you in? Are you out? Where are you with this team as a World Series contender at this point? But it is a Friday, and you know what we do around here on Fridays. We do a little Friday Friday. All right, well, it is Father's Day weekend, so happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Hope it's going to be a great weekend for you. So we thought today would be a fun Friday. Give us bad Father's Day gifts. Now, this could be one maybe you've received, maybe you gave when you were younger, or maybe just gave it last year. Who knows?
You want to get my dad on the line?
Have you given him a bad Father's Day gift? Well, I mean, he probably would
every
say
time
yes.
I'm sure whatever story or whatever I did is... You know.
Yes. You know where I'm at with Father's Day gifts this
What's
point?
What's that?
Well, I mean, I'll be excited whatever the kids do this weekend. But I am at the point now where if I was asked, what would you like? You know what I would say, Hugh?
What?
Quiet.
Yeah, just leave me alone.
No, it's not even leave me alone. Like, I don't mind being with, but I just want quiet.
Yeah, leave me alone.
Just quiet, you know, as time goes on, quiet becomes very underrated.
You know what it is about Father's Day for fathers? It's, we don't ask for a lot. Mm-mm. We know that the day is Mother's Day, and mothers deserve everything that is given to them. It's, for me, and my kids have gotten better with this, but it's the thought behind the gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it's not, I think for most fathers, it's not so much about the price of the gift or anything like that.
Of course not.
It's about the thought behind the gift. And a lot of times it feels like, not lately, but it feels like in the past that it was almost like, oh, Father's Day. Just get him anything. You know what I mean? Go get him that screwdriver that you get from the, you know, that little screwdriver set that they used to have back in the day.
Mm.
Get him one of those. Now, I mean, most dads are cool with those. But if you want to put a little thought into it, get him like one of those nice ones with the Milwaukee screw, like
the good brand.
The good brand. Like get him something that, you know, you put a little thought in. And even with that, I would think that that's probably a couple $100s, maybe not even that much, about $100. Who knows? You know, but I think it's more so the thought about who your pops is to get the gift for him.
So, you know, it's funny you say that because you're right. It's not. For me, and my kids are still young, but like they don't have money. But like it's not about how much they spend, right? You know, Hugh, one of my favorite ones they ever did for me?
What's that?
They just baked me cookies, like my favorite cookies. And I was like, this is the coolest gift ever, right? They baked cookies, and I got cookies. That it's the thought that counts. It is.
Yeah.
Our Father's Day gifts for Tri-Day Friday. Give us a bad one. You've either given, received, or you could give for Father's Day. 215-592-9494. Eric in Germantown, up on WIP. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
What's going on, man?
What's going on?
How you doing today? What are you thinking?
Good, man. I'm thinking, Hugh, tell me what kind of thought they put into getting me a bug zapper.
Well, that's a good gift. You talking about the ones that you, is it the one you put the salt in and shoot the bugs? Or is it actual laser one?
None of that, Hugh. No, it's the light. It's from like back in 2005.
Oh, you talking? That. Yeah, I know what you're talking.
The one you put on the back patio and it like zaps him.
Oh, so you talk not the actual gun. You want the light, the big green, the purple light, right? That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, I thought you know what
come
I thought you're talking about. I thought you meant the actual gun.
Oh,
they have a gun.
What are you gonna be like Ghostbusters out here shooting these bugs?
It's like they have a zapper.
Hey, you.
Yes.
You, I didn't say the bug shooter laser gun. I said the bug zapper.
No, when you said it,
like you
that was the
accuracy.
First thing that I thought about. I don't know, man. You got to just tell them, you know.
No,
you got to. You know what? I think the best thing to do is say, hey, you know, these bugs
so
on the back porch are making
sell
it.
Them?
Now he's saying this happened
I
to him. He got the zapper.
Oh, you didn't. Wait a minute. You didn't like that gift?
No, Hugh, this is the worst gift.
Oh, dog. You know what's funny? My fault. I got excited. I got excited.
You want a bug zapper?
Different strokes for different bugs.
I could see you entertaining himself out of the porch just watching bugs get lit up.
Hearing them get like zapped.
See, Eric, like I said, I vibrate on a different frequency, man. I got kind of excited when you said that.
Oh, man. You've been out here slaving over the grill. We're going to get you a bug zapper. No, man. I'd have rather had the baked cookies, man.
Eric, my kids are 11 and 9, and I don't want them to know this. They're never going to top those cookies. I mean, that was the best. It was like 24 cookies. I ate them all. It was
good thing no one can hear.
I love
and they're home
man.
Today, so they're not here.
I love that, man. And I got a bug zapper one year. I got some beer soap. Come on, man. It's not
beer
good.
Yeah,
soap.
See, the beer soap, you get that yourself.
What's beer soap?
Like the soap for your beard. Like
beer.
The beard
I thought
soap.
You said beer soap. I'm like,
no,
spend one night
for your
in
beard.
College.
Yeah.
You might as well have applied beer soap.
No, beer. B-E-E-R, like Corona.
Oh,
beer.
Okay, so we're
no,
right.
No, it is. With beer soap?
So like you smell of beer after you take a shower type of thing?
Yeah.
Do you
like
just
a
smell
beer?
Like a flat frat basement, like a stale beer smell? It's pretty disgusting.
I never even heard of it. Never even heard of it. Can we talk Phillies now?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
right. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's after we blew that.
Forgot about that.
Sorry, our bad.
That was a little depressing, man. But in true Philly fan fashion, Hugh, Joe, I love your spirit, but when you guys came in, you didn't really give anything positive. It was all like, if this, if that, and then Turner got a hammy and all this stuff. Like,
shows where we're at right now. We're trying our best here.
There's a couple things that I want to give to you right now, and I want to hear your opinion. And Hugh, as a former player in the locker room, I want to get your opinion on what it's like when you're in that contended space, like the Browns get that contended, you know, yeah, we're all right with that. And you just touched on that, Joe. But to be in that locker room when you guys are looking at each other and you need a disruptor, not like on a Trump level, but I mean, like you need something to shake it up. What you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I'd like you to give me something on that, Hugh, if you could. And really, I'm a Michael Lewis fan. Moneyball, The Undoing Project, I love it, man. I'm wondering what that looks like if we can, you know, maybe add a pitcher to stop a run here, get a couple bats to create a run here. Now we're up two runs. We can maybe add two runs a game. How does that look going into the deadline, and are there creative ways, I guess, that we could incorporate quality players on both offense and defense with this team? I'll listen to you.
Well, you got Eric. Good phone call. And I'm a Michael Lewis fan too. And the Moneyball thing. I mean, it's just, you know, it's kind of looking at the same picture but differently, right? Mm-hmm. In the aggregate, how do we build the best team? And that's, you know, that's to that point. It's kind of why a few weeks ago, I know a lot of people, I know you were, Hugh, and Kyle was like really excited about Skubal. The idea of even though they need a bat, add pitching, right? Because it's not about you just have to score more runs than the other team. Now, if you win 2-1 or you win 6-5, it's a win, right? It doesn't matter. So, one creative way could be they just strengthen the pitching, which is supposed to be their strength anyway. I mean, so there's, or another way, Hugh, could be they move Bryce Harper off of first base to get the best bat they can, who happens to play the position of their best player, right? There's good teams have to get creative because everyone's in the same boat, basically.
Yeah, and you have to be adaptive.
Yes.
I think that's the biggest thing. And as far as the locker room is concerned, you know, it's odd because most times when you're in a situation where you feel like, I would think that you feel like you have a chance, you're more than willing to do what it takes to make the team better.
Right, right.
And I'm pretty sure guys are probably looking at the paper and they're looking at the standings and everything, and they see you have a pretty basic idea of what potentially is easier to get than other things. And right now for the Phillies, it looks like it's easier to get a first baseman than it is an outfielder. And for Dombrowski to draw the hard line like that kind of tells you where they are with it. So, you know, you just don't know. I don't, like, as far as baseball, don't know, because it feels like from him saying that they're kind of content on where they are.
I agree, and I hate that. And, you know, I almost think Dave Dombrowski is missing the big picture on this when it comes to Harper. The Phillies have an advantage. Let's just say the Dodgers and the Braves do not. The Dodgers and Braves, if they wanted to, really can't acquire a first baseman, right? Freddie Freeman can't play the outfield.
Yeah, he can't do a whole lot. You have a versatile player that can,
yes,
you can move around, that can, you know, you can strengthen your outfield.
Yep.
And then have somebody else come in and play first base, somebody that's more comfortable doing it. Somebody that's not as flexible as Bryce Harper.
Same thing with Matt Olson with the Braves. He is entrenched as a first baseman and a very good one. But, like, they can't just move Matt Olson to the outfield all of a sudden. Like, the Phillies have, at first base, a guy that was an outfielder for an entire decade in Major League Baseball that they paid to be a right fielder. Let's not forget how Bryce Harper got here. It wasn't to be the Phillies' first baseman. It was to be their right fielder. So the idea that they couldn't, wouldn't, or are content with him at first base when the best bats could be first basemen, that's the opposite of what our caller's talking about being flexible. 215-592-9494. Coming up, your phone calls on all of this. The Phillies as a World Series contender, are you in or are you out? Eric kind of sniffed out that Hugh and I are in, but we have some reservations here. He felt that. I get it. I mean, I do.
I mean, I like the bugs.
You guys might as well just come on home and be out.
Well,
I mean, it sounds
I'm
like
not ready
this,
to be
if
out.
That, guys, they're cooked.
All right.
I thought the
I'm
bugs
not ready
was
to say
a cool gift, though. I
well, if Harper's cool listening, he knows what to get you on Sunday.
Yeah,
bug zapper.
Bug zapper.
All right,
you
coming
think he's
up.
Listening?
Is Harper
probably
listening?
Not, no.
All right, coming up. We'll get all your phone calls, those plus Tri-Day Friday for bad Father's Day gifts, either given or you could give here. Father's Day coming up. Plus, we've been dancing around something all week, and every time it comes up, we get into a big debate. No, I'm not specifically speaking on Hugh's Rocky take, but more about the quarterback, Jalen Hurts. Something specifically about him that always gets brought up to the conversation. Should it? We'll hit that next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.